It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, the voice is starting to go, but I can make it another hour. Chris Bliss is on his way. He was at the Secretary of State's office, which is just, I don't know, like 5 miles away. So he'll be here in just a little bit, certainly before the beginning of the second segment, I'm hoping. He's always late. I knew he would be. But he'll be in studio, and we'll go over the history of this. It's a very interesting story. And as what I can do is, so we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on it with Chris, I'll go ahead and tell you what happened from my perspective. And since he's not here, I get to give my perspective. That's the way it is. It was 2007, I think. 7, 8, round in. No, 2006. Yeah, I think it was like 2006, 7, round in there. It was before the Ron Paul Revolution, that's right. So I bet you it was about 2006. What happened was this. When the big giant controversy started around having the Ten Commandments, there was the movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston. When, I can't remember, who is it, Cecil B. DeMille or something? It was a big studio thing. Part of the promotion for that movie back in the late 50s, early 60s, and so on, they had taken monuments and put them at state capitals and courthouses and so on all over the country. That was to the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm sure it had a little bit of controversy at the time, and as time went on, it got more and more and more so, to where you have the promotion of a particular religion on government property. Well, as this is becoming a big issue, Chris Bliss, you know, he's on the comedy tour. You know, he's a regular at the Improv and so on. He's on David Letterman and the other late night shows and such. And he's very talented. I mean, you look up Chris Bliss juggle. He did this amazing juggling act to some Michael Jackson song. And in fact, no, it was to Strawberry Fields, to some Beatles stuff. And it was just, he's very talented. And it was he was the opening act for Michael Jackson on one of his tours. I mean, this guy skills. Well, he took his notoriety and so on to bring home one point that really bothered him. Now, I know him from Air America. During that time, he and I and Charles Goyette became friends. And I think he was friends with Charles before. And he was very supportive of Air America and getting a progressive left view out there. But Charles and I were, you know, the token libertarians. You know, as I was producing for Charles, we're definitely anti-war. You know, we're also anti-Social Security, Medicaid, and all this other stuff too. But, you know, the warfare, welfare state. Well, as he would come in and we'd had discussions and so on, you know, we became friends. And he'd have parties, and he and his wife and my wife and I become good friends. And it was sad when he moved to Texas in order to be on site to focus on my Bill of Rights monument there in Texas. As you know, Texas once gets around it, you know. Well, this is what happened. Here in Arizona, when he was doing this show, he would talk about things like, you know, what's the big deal? Yeah, you got the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I don't care. As long as you can have the countervailing argument to have the monument to the Bill of Rights there, yeah, what's the big deal? And people started pointing out, look, man, that spiel doesn't work in your comedy routine because there isn't a single monument to the Bill of Rights in the entire country. And they couldn't find one. There's nothing in Washington, D.C. There's nothing in any of the state capitals. There's nothing, no monument to the Bill of Rights. He couldn't believe it. He's like, are you freaking kidding me? So he came up with a concept. All right, we're going to start a website, mybillofrights.org. And what he wanted to do is to privately fund. I mean, you know, the libertarians got enough influence on him on this one. I go, you know, it doesn't mean anything if it's government funded. I mean, that's just, you know, that's probably why you don't have it, you know. So government's not a big giant fan of the Bill of Rights. This is obvious. Are you starting to get it now? That's why you don't have one, because they don't like it. It restricts them. They're not going to promote that. Duh. So he came up with a concept. He goes, all right, we will privately fund it. And initially it was, you couldn't, he didn't want big corporate donors and everything. You knew there was going to be, you know, big corporations saying, oh yeah, I put my, you know, stamp on this thing. So initially it started off with, I don't know how much he's changed it since then, but initially started off with no more than $200 per person. So each contribution was within a couple hundred dollars. And he started raising money for it and everything. It started catching on. It's popular. He had a big fundraiser at the Improv. We promoted it on the radio show. We went down, but then we needed to have legislation sponsored, because you had to have some kind of legislation that would say, okay, this area will be this 3-square-foot area, we can put the monument to the First Amendment. And in this 3-foot-square area, we can put the Second Amendment. In this 3-foot-square area, we can put the Third Amendment, you know, and however they want to design it, you know, and get all elaborate, or it can just be a plaque, or it can be something. I mean, we have some kind of walking through kind of honoring of the Bill of Rights. Well, it started off, you know, our good friend Russell Pierce, you know, Russell Pierce. Now, we knew Russell, and we talked to him. We said, look, man, this is right up your alley, man. You know, we'll do this. You know, get it all taken care of. Well, of course, immediately they wanted to know who on the left is going to be involved in this thing. Because keep in mind, this was Air America. That was it. Now, of course, they're big anti, you know, Second Amendment part. Got to get them to swallow on that one. And have some left-leaning or leftist legislators involved in this thing. They're, you know, Bill of Rights. Well, the Republicans were not comfortable with this coming from anything to do with the left. No, hell no. There was a legislator. Her name is Kristen Sinema. Let me go ahead and pull this up right here, and I'll show you. Those are on video. You can see this photo. Now, what you see here in this photo is we have Karen Johnson on the left. She is a Republican, hardcore, right-wing, Mormon conservative, okay? Then you have Chris Bliss in the middle, and on his left arm is Kirsten Sinema, which is, I mean, she's a queen bee of all that is liberal. I mean, you know, she ran as a Green before she ran as a Democrat and communist, and proud of it, okay? Now, we got the most far-right and far-left legislators to agree to co-sponsor the legislation that would allow for a privately funded monument to the Bill of Rights to be put on Arizona State Capitol grounds. You would think that would be the easiest thing in the world. Karen was very cool about it. She's like, eh, not a problem, man. I'm all over it. You know, yeah, damn, what's the big deal? Don't get it. As this progressed, and we're making a big deal out of it, and fundraising, and the people are getting behind it, it's starting to make news, all of a sudden, you have guys like Russell Pierce, you know, this is a Republican thing, they were killing the bill. They were holding it up. There was no way in hell they were going to allow a Democrat to have anything to do with that bill. Go ahead and come on in, Chris. Sierra, go ahead and get him hooked up. So the thing was, is that I wanted to go, you know, what is it that's holding this thing up? What held it up was they didn't want to have any Democrat associated with this bill. No, not going to have it. So they did a strike all, put it in, threw all the Republicans on there, and said, it's a Republican thing. You know, it's just the way they roll. And we, of course, pointed it out. But the point that we wanted is to be able to honor the Bill of Rights. Well, Chris Bliss finally decided to join us, and we'll get his view on it when we come back.
Yesterday, I'm just late.
Yeah. We'll be right back here in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, crank it up here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Finally, in studio, we have Chris Bliss. You just came from the Secretary of State's office. What was so important there that you aren't here?
Well, I was renewing the trade name because I chose what my projects director now tells me she uses in every class that she gives on nonprofits and branding, the worst name ever for a corporation, for a nonprofit, which was the foundation, which is what the document is, foundation. Well, if you Google foundation, you fall into an information wormhole and you never come out. It's like holding two mirrors up in front of one another and drifting off into infinity. So mybillofrights.org is our registered trade name, so we had to
The concept when you first did it, the foundation.
The foundation of the foundation.
I got it, you know, but yeah, I can see where.
But
Google
really bad from any kind of marketing point of view, and that's the only time I think my background as a comedian has gotten in the way of me. So on this, and incidentally, I would like to make sure that everyone out there knows that the opinions expressed by Ernest Hancock during this program, as well as his retelling of history, is strictly the opinions
of Ernest Hancock
and those of you who worship and follow him.
Because Chris is of a different mind, you know, which is, you know, that's fine. We get along fine.
I have a common ground, nonpartisan mission. But I will have to say that if it wasn't for Ernest Hancock, I do not believe that resolution would have passed and that would have gotten a vote in the Senate.
It was interesting.
Because you just told me, Chris, you need to look out and watch the calendar, and if a third read doesn't happen by this date, it means that something is going on someone's not being out front about. In that case, you need to apply pressure. And you were right about all of those things. And let me tell you one of the coolest points of pressure. Two things. One thing I'm really proud about is just by having that legislation on the floor of the House and Senate that year, as you'll remember, there was a flag bill to require that every classroom in Arizona display an American flag of certain dimensions, not to be paid for by taxpayers, but by contributions from businesses and individuals, and they had extra, okay? Because the Bill of Rights talk was up about the monument, and there was a little bit of pushback about some of the silly politics on it, somebody amended that bill to include putting up a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights on every classroom wall. Flag's great, symbols are wonderful, substance better. You know, and as we haven't even broken ground here in Arizona, but there is now on every classroom wall in Arizona a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That can't possibly be a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a game changer because I know how many kids are going to look at it, but the ones who do look at it are going to be the ones who get involved with those institutions, and it's good that it's there for them.
You know,
it pays to advertise, Ernest Hancock.
Yes, you know, I tell you, so the audience understands what we were dealing with is having gone through this process, you know, I knew what you were up against.
Yeah.
It's politics.
Yeah, all I'm trying to say is, as crazy as a lot of the stuff that you do is, Ernie, and always theatrical and for the most part very entertaining, although sometimes a rather dark kind of humor that you have. But for all of that, you were spot on to say, warning, Will Robinson, better get active because something's going on.
Well, and see, what they tried to encourage you to do was to not. No, just let us take care of it. And they were playing
politics.
Well,
all 90 legislators had signed on as co-sponsors to the bill.
Big freaking
deal. Well, I didn't know that, Ernie.
You know,
Ernie, I'm a comedian. I'm an artist. I'm a monument builder. I do not live in the real world like you.
You know, nobody pays attention to me. You know, it's just experience.
Did I pay
attention?
Did I pay attention
when
to
it
you?
Came down to it, was, you know, third year was going to get missed.
I heard what you were saying, and I said, all right, you know what? If Ernie wouldn't, you know, I said, I bet you're right about this. And you called it dead on.
Because I knew what the real problem was, is that you have a Republican-controlled House and Senate while there was a Democrat governor in office.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no way in hell they wanted to have any Democratic fingerprints on getting a monument to the Bill of Rights, even though it was privately funded. You got Democrats saying Kyrsten Sinema, the most liberal of the liberal lefty liberals, and she's up there working with Karen Johnson, which is
I thought it was a beautiful thing that she did.
It was great.
I thought it was a beautiful thing that she did.
All the more reason that the Republicans didn't want it to happen. You know, this
and Karen Johnson is a, you know, all politics aside, she's a lovely, you know, it's one of those things. People believe what their life experience has brought them to believe. You have to honor that. You have to respect it. But when it just gets into the politics and the games thing, that doesn't have anything to do with beliefs at that point. That's a whole different thing. So.
Well, they finally did get it passed. You know, we did put a lot of pressure on them, and we were making fun of them. And we're like, you know, this is a neon flashing example of what we knew was going to happen. So it pressured them into getting it done because it was so perfect. It was privately funded. All you wanted was space.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is they did it by shifting it into the budget bill, though it required no appropriation. And therefore, Kyrsten's fingerprints were theoretically off of the bill. But of course, you know.
The way they roll, man.
Well, it was just funny. But the another interesting thing, though, is it was really actually helpful that there was that problem because nobody would have read about this project at all without it. It was so non-controversial, like you said. What's controversial about a monument to honor the Bill of Rights, privately funded for the citizens to enjoy?
You know, what's controversial is that all the attention was coming out of the Air America affiliate. That's why.
Oh, I forgot about that part. Yeah, I guess that could have been, you know, guilt by association. But hey, you know what? I obviously haven't learned my lesson. I'm on your show, so I haven't learned my lesson on that one. But what's also cool, the controversy came up. There was an American history teacher, public school in Nogales. His high school class heard about this thing, and it started this whole discussion in the class. The kids couldn't believe that it wasn't, and he got in touch with me, and I was sending out newsletters at that point, you know, with my secret source, Ernest Hancock, tells me, you know. But I was sending out newsletters to people, and this guy calls me, and he says, my kids are calling the Senate president's office and demanding that the bill get a vote. I said, what? He said, no, they can't. They're saying, you know, this is important to them. They've been studying the Bill of Rights. And they had a cell phone. They passed it around the class and they took turns during the day calling the Senate president's office. And I was trying to get him to return a call and I couldn't get him to. I was just getting messages that he was too busy wrapping up stuff at the end of the session. And I'm on the phone with his secretary, and she says, will you please tell those kids to stop calling?
Well,
and it was funny, and I didn't know they were all calling. I said, I don't know what you mean, but, you know. And the teacher said, no, every single one of them wanted to exercise their right to petition the government. I mean, it was so cool. These high school kids. Well, I think that, I mean, that all that stuff had an impact.
My
hat's off to those kids.
Projects that we did with Freedom's Phoenix, you know, in the early days, you know, it was a way to get the artwork out. We had people, listeners, that we see the poster behind you on the video here. People are looking, you can see it back behind you over there. They had this poster was done by a listener. And as,
that's true. It's very cool.
Is tell her you.
The punchline's mine. I got to take credit for the visuals his and the punchline's mine.
Oh, you know, tell her you'd marry her all over again.
It's the Statue of Liberty over top of the Bill of Rights.
So it's very attractive. And we did T-shirts on it. It was heavily promoted, and everybody had a good time with it. And there was a lot of participation from a lot of people from every angle. And
best news of all, though, as you're going to break, I take it from the music. Best news of all, though, to get up to recent history, in the last 4 months, a site has been approved, a preliminary design has been approved. This project is alive and kicking. It's a great design. And finally, we're going to honor it.
When we come right back with Chris Bliss. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU. Beautiful studios. I'm getting my voice back. Na 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 na. Here at Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Chris Bliss from mybillofrights.org. Mybillofrights.org. Chris Bliss is in with us, going to tell us the rest of the story. Because what we need to know is that 4 years ago, it's been four freaking years, okay? And it's not just Arizona. He's working to do this in states all over the country. And you moved to Texas to kind of walk that one through, didn't you?
Well, the story is that we originally wanted to put this monument to the Bill of Rights on the side of 17th Avenue that the Capitol building's on, that the legislature's on, because it's a legislative, I mean, to a certain extent.
You wanted it facing the legislature.
Yeah, well, it's the source of American law. I mean, it's really the heart and soul of our legal system. So we thought this would be a good place. And that sort of was our thing, put them at state capitals and put them in town squares, put them in to reinvigorate, to add substance to the symbols of our public space. That's the idea, because it's very accessible. It's a top 10 list. You know, it's
okay,
less
now,
than 500
words. Now, wait a minute.
Words.
I want to address this one thing. You weren't here for the first segment. I want you to address this one thing.
Okay.
When this first started, it was the controversy over the Ten Commandments being on these public, you know,
I was doing a piece of comedy material about it. And that's where the first idea came. I said, stop. You know, we don't need to take the Ten Commandments down. We can just put the Bill of Rights up next to it and let people comparison shop. So that was because the Bill of Rights gives you an amazing deal. It tells you speak freely, carry a gun, pursue happiness, and then it presumes that you're innocent, and my religion won't give me that deal. That was the joke.
Well, you know, the thing is I think you were surprised that there wasn't any monuments.
No, I was pretty stunned, and I kept looking, and finally I Googled and I saw this posting about, what do you mean there's lots of these things around, you know? And then you clicked on the link for the photo, and it was a 55-gallon garbage
pail or something.
Garbage can that the guy, and what he was saying was, this is what they've done to our rights. They've thrown them in the garbage. You know, and that really, here's what's weird. Of course, that's a depressing thought, but I was like, yes, there aren't hundreds of them already. Let's go do it, you know? So we put the first one up as a small one in a place called Montezuma, Iowa. We have three active projects, but Phoenix is the first. And people say, well, why did this take so long? We were trying to get it moved across the street. All monument authorizing legislation is traditionally for Boland Plaza. That's what it was created for. It's a memorial plaza so
it's like a park right across the street,
yes,
from the Capitol.
And any monument legislation, you know, because people obviously would want to put tons of monuments if they could get them by the Capitol. So it's there. So then we tried to get a change to move it back across the street, which is just a change in the authorization once you have the authorization. And it didn't happen in 2007, and it didn't happen in 2008. So instead, we got the monument resolution extended at the end of 2008 to give it another try. And before the 2010 session, and I talked to Kirsten, and she said, Chris, there are billion-dollar holes in the deficit. This is getting to be about teachers and firemen and kids going hungry, and this place isn't working very well right now. So I don't think it's even worth any energy right now. So tell me what you're going to do about this. When I thought about it, I thought, well, if there's any state in the country that needs a bridge project right now, it needs somebody to shine a light and go, hey, common ground, can we all meet over here for a little while? It's got to be Arizona. So when I look at to my surprise, the site that they gave us at Bolin is an amazing site, because I was afraid they had these little plots at Bolin. But you don't necessarily have to be in a smaller site, depending on what you're looking to do. And they said, well, how about you use this? This could be great. It's an amazing site. This stuff's up on our website now, the new design for Boland Plaza at mybillofrights.org. It's beautiful. You're going to hear a lot more about this in the near future. But it's a lovely design. I believe that we're in a good position to possibly receive a substantial grant towards it as well, but I mean, I can't say it, so.
Privately?
Yes.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and tell me.
Well, no, Philip Morris has decided to sponsor the monument, and we've decided that their money is as good as anybody's.
I don't care.
Them and General Dynamics are going to be the two main sponsors.
So they, whatever.
We actually have, well, that's interesting you point out, because as you know, we do not accept corporate contributions, so. It's just been a policy only because here this is, you know, one of the great documents in human history, all about individual liberty. I mean, it is America is the brand here.
The first copies that I ever got on parchment of the Bill of Rights came from a Philip Morris campaign.
That's funny.
You know, they had these, you know, you would just, you know, write them, and they would send you free copies of it. You know, they're like...
That's great, though. Well, good
Well,
for
that's
them.
Because, you know, hey, man, if you want to smoke yourself to death, you know, that's
Well, they
problem.
Also want to say, that, yeah, I mean, I know quite a few libertarians that became that way because of being persecuted as a smoker. That was their first experience with the...
It motivated a lot of people.
I think that's
sure.
I think that's a fair thing to say.
So what happens is that now we're in the construction phase of it, or at least, you know, the site selection has been done. But, you know, I remember there was something, you know, our good friend, you know, Russell Pierce, man, he's always getting his nose in something. And yeah. what was it he was trying to block it by putting the...
Right before Kirsten told me, don't even, he wasn't trying to block this. It was totally unrelated and yet at the same time completely related. For 3 years, we've been trying to get this Bill of Rights monument that had been authorized by the legislature, authorized to be put over by the legislatures. Last year, apparently, Senator Pierce got through the Senate, but not the House, but maybe they'll do it this year. He wants, there already is, the Ten Commandments is in Boland Plaza, okay? The same one that's everywhere, the one from the movie era one with that's from the Fraternal Order of Eagles one. You know the one I'm talking about. They're all over the country. There's like 25, 30 of those around. Senator Pierce thinks that there needed to be a second copy of the Ten Commandments. And he wanted to put it in the place that I'd always wanted to put the Bill of Rights. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. I'd start off with a comedy routine about this, and pretty soon I'm getting trumped by, reality again and again. And it was pretty through the looking glass. I know. I think the Senate passed it. I don't think it actually got
to the House. Yeah, you're doing a comedy routine, you get trumped by the clown.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, you know, you don't want to, I mean.
No, I'm telling you, Russell, man, he does some pretty strange stuff. And it's all based on, you know, just theater, but. You must
respect him for that, though. You like the theater yourself, Ernie.
It's a diminishing audience, you know, for him. I'll tell you, it really is getting sad. And what's amazing to me is that Russell would not embrace this Bill of Rights thing. Yeah, you know, for one reason.
Because of Kirsten Sinema. Yeah, see, to me, that's like, you know, I got interviewed about this around when the story was out and the thing was going on. And I said, you know what? How about this? How about if it's good for a political opponent of yours, but it's great for Arizona? Well, why don't we do it anyway? I mean, what's the, you know, that's the metric for me is like, okay, all right. So the worst thing about this is that it... puts a positive light not just on you but on somebody you don't like. That's the worst.
Well, this is the one thing that I understood that you hadn't had experience with.
No,
yet.
I didn't expect that. I'm is totally that, naive about that.
Because I was, just experience how small-minded these people are. How stupid they are.
Or can be. I wouldn't say
are. How petty they are.
Well, but yes. I mean, petty, yes. Can be. I mean, sometimes it's just like there's some people.
Oh, I knew they were going to be on this one.
Yeah.
No, heck no. So this was, you know, where I got involved, and I remember the conversations we had, and you're like, Ernie, you're such a poo-pooer. It's not, and I'm going, look, man, you know, when you're ready, you let me know, and we'll go put the pressure where it needs to be, and we'll get it taken care of. And that's eventually what happened. But now,
I never dismissed you about this. I said that could be possible, but I was being naive. I didn't think you were wrong. I thought I didn't think you were wrong because you were Ernie. That's not what I wasn't dismissing Ernie. You know, some people say, well, that's Ernie.
Legislators were better than they were.
I thought in this instance, I thought, well, oh, can that really be happening? But you smelled it first because you'd seen it before, and you were absolutely right. And if you hadn't told me, it would have been too late.
You know, well, I'm glad we got it done. And
I'm really excited about actually getting it done now because
well,
this
that's
is
what
a
we're
going to
talk
design.
About when we come back. We'll talk about the design and what kind of effect it's going to have and what's happening in other parts of the country because it always starts in Arizona. It's just always Arizona. A monument to the Bill of Rights, nowhere on the planet except Arizona. It's always Arizona, and there's a reason why because we know what's going on.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, this is probably the last day I get to wear shades. My eyes are starting to clear up. You don't do that Resident Evil Eye thing anymore. But, you know, we got Chris Bliss in. We're talking about mybillofrights.org.
I recognized that last voice, didn't I? That was Mr. CG, wasn't it?
I'm
on the promo.
Oh, yeah. Charles Goyette, man. He does a good job on the promo. Yeah, and Chris is good friends with Charles. And he and I, Charles and I, we worked heavily behind this, behind the scenes. To promote this. And one thing that I wanted to get into is the actual process by which we're at now. I mean, you go through all these, and the one thing off air we were talking about I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Is the Bill of Rights has to be determined what?
Well, the monument resolution, every bill that goes up in front of the legislature, at some point there's a committee called the Constitutionality Committee or something. It has to be declared that it's constitutional. So it's kind of funny. Putting up a monument to the Bill of Rights had to be considered constitutional. I thought that was pretty funny.
And
you asked me what are the remaining things. They have to check the text for historical accuracy. Not the same as approving the text. They wouldn't want me to put the word "not" in one of the amendments. You know, not. You know, I mean, they got to check the text for historical accuracy and approve that, and then a historical commission meeting on the final design stuff. But I'm feeling like there's I just think that this represents an opportunity. I'm trying to figure out how to make it the best possible opportunity to have a bridging project that somehow.
Bridging. Define that. What do you mean bridging?
A bridging project is the reason why I chose the Bill of Rights to begin with is it's a common ground project. Anything that the ACLU and the NRA are equally passionate about different parts of, but nonetheless, they consider themselves sort of like enemies of one another. They both agree that the government should stay as far out of people's lives as possible.
You know, this was interesting when we did the improv in Tempe. We had a big fundraiser.
That was a great fun. Benefit was so good.
Oh, we had a good time. And
we had a guy dressed like Franklin who went out and hit up people's tables for cash contributions. It was great. Where's those Franklins? I'd like to see my picture, please.
And there was Kyrsten Sinema spoke, and I remember her making a comment about, well, yeah, you know, she has to take the Second Amendment along with the rest of it, you know? And that was always the joke with the liberals that, you know, dang it, man, it's a full package. You can't go picking, you know, you got to take the whole thing. And that was really the consolidating message of this whole thing.
Yeah, and I even, when I talk about it, I don't talk about it so much as the full package as, look, this is a design of interlocking elements. And the idea is that it's only as strong as its weakest link, so you really don't want to weaken any of the links that are already there. So, to me, that's the best way to look at it is it's a process and design document. And that's why it's been able to, as things have changed, the process and the design were both could just go straight in and go, yeah, we can run this program too. Yeah, we can run this. We got a good process, a good design. And as the world grows, the process can still be applied in a sensible way. It's a sensible process.
Well, tell me about other states that this is good legislation.
Well, we have a major thing in Texas, which is why I relocated there. During the course of trying to get the Arizona one moved back over by the Capitol, we had another resolution pass in Texas. A design took root down there and actually has been approved in Texas that I think will be a national destination Bill of Rights location for the country. There's no such thing like it. They're going to give us the entire plaza in front of the Texas State Supreme Court. Wow. It's adjacent to the Capitol, which is one of the more beautiful capitals in the country. And there's a sculptural element, there's a water element, a seating shade. Each amendment is individually displayed and for contemplation. Redoing the entire plaza from the bad aggregate concrete that it is now back to the granite pavers that are at the rest of the Capitol grounds. I mean, it's a beautiful project. So it's about $4 million, which, and it was approved for fundraising to release the drawings. We couldn't even show anybody these drawings until, I believe, it was either March or April of 2009. Just go on CNBC and pull up a stock chart from March and April of 2009. It wasn't the most auspicious time to be going, hey, everybody, write us your checks. We could really use a little, but $4 million sounds like a lot. The Vietnam Memorial in Washington would be $21 million in 2011 dollars.
Wow.
Because there's design and there's also permanence. The materials have to be above regular construction grade because of what it's being designed for and that it's outdoors. And also, that's less, apparently, than the cost of one skybox at the new Cowboys Stadium.
Well, Texas likes everything big anyway.
Well, come on. I mean, 10 amendments, one skybox. I mean, that sounds fair, doesn't it? You know, I guess
I'm
somebody's going to...
I'm glad that they're at least paying attention. And, you know, it's kind of...
It's a beautiful design, though. That's up on the MyBillOfRights.org website, too. And we also have one in Everett, Washington that we're about... We've got two alternate designs that we're looking at, and the community came together around that one just absolutely beautifully. And when this design comes out, we've got two professional fundraisers, one from the right and one from the left, who volunteered to do the project. Not that it's incidental they had fundraising experience. So you,
but are they working together?
Yeah, they're working together. They love each other. They're both great people, you know?
This is one thing that, you know, I'll tell you, at a time when this started, this is a good point to make with the audience. When this started, I understood how quickly this was going to be perceived as both a left and a right thing. You know, and Charles's show, he's libertarian. He's, seen as a champion of the right. He came from a Clear Channel radio station, but he wouldn't support the war. So that's where, you know, his claim to fame was. So what happened was, is you have this libertarian, all-encompassing support of the Bill of Rights that brings in the left and the right. You would think that it would be supported by everyone. And it was from the people. It was the partisanship that got involved. It was the small-minded people that were in politics and legislators and governors and all that stuff. And it was exactly what I hoped to emphasize, exactly what I hoped to show. But that the people could come together on this thing. And they did. And they put a lot of pressure on the legislature from school children. You know, from
businesses. The school kids was so cool.
It was everywhere, and it was so obvious to those that had any kind of experience to see where this was gonna go and why. The pressure was so enormous that they had to come up with some kind of solution to approve this thing, because are they gonna be the ones that didn't approve a privately funded monument to the Bill of Rights? I mean, come on.
I finally got a phone call from the Senate President's office the day after Sunday in the Metro section below the fold. There was an article about budget battle to ruin state's Bill of Rights monument, ? And the next morning my phone finally rang. So, you know, that's what happens. Enough people are talking about it, it becomes a news story, somebody writes about it, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, we'll get this done. You know, and it was resolved that. But you do have to make noise, and you have to, and that's the thing. Of course, I should understand. I grew up in Washington, D.C. How can I not understand the way this
game
is
I'll tell you how it works out. It's when you have that one libertarian legislative opponent that has nothing but his 6% he's going to get in the election, but he's going to bring this issue up every single event. And well, that's what they
and
remember.
And actually, to me, I mean, people say, why are you doing monuments to begin with? And it's like, the reason why is that having these principals in the public square is just a great place for them to be. School kids go on field trips to state capitals. The reason that I guarantee you 50,000 school kids a year minimum visit the state capitol here in Arizona. It might be more than that. It's important to put when you can get this thing into a kid's iconography, for lack of a better word, you know, once they see that's a really good seed to be planting.
You know, I'm interested that Texas, you would think that they would be more, we're a republic and, you know, the heck with the United States of America, you know, a bill of what? You know, we're separate. We're going to be our own country, you know, that they would embrace this so much to be part of their heritage and they'd lock themselves in the United States is a sign in itself.
The largest percentage, the more people from more citizens of the state of Texas join the military than any other state in the country. So, you know, that talk is just, you know, that's just part of the tradition of it being the Lone Star State that used to be an independent nation.
Well, it's good for them getting locked in, man. You know, the United States government is like, yay, we got Texas, man, and Arizona. We're locking them in. Locking them in. They're all getting the Bill of Rights monument out there. Well, thanks to Chris Bliss for...
Million kids a year go to that Texas Capitol grounds. That's the truth.
No, I'm sure they would.
A million visitors a year. Not all kids, but...
Thanks for Chris finally coming in, you know, making it here, and being able to share this with you. Go to mybillofrights.org. Mybillofrights.org.
Right, and then later this week, you're going to do the reading of the amendments when your voice is better. We need some people to videotape and send us their videotapes of the amendments.
Okay, do that publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. All you do is go on Vimeo or YouTube, whatever. You know, do a video of you reading one of the Bill of Rights amendments, and we'll make sure that it gets to Chris, and he'll include it in a montage or whatever he's doing.
Yeah, and I don't care if you want to do an introduction, if you want to dress up. I don't care what you do with it. It's up to you to do it however you want. I want it's about what you think. as much
as MyBillOfRights.org. Go check it out.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what Readers of Freedom's Phoenix.com get every day. Readers of Freedom's Phoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.